his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin. And we have begun.
Welcome to the front line on this Monday, the 26th of August of the year 2024. Probably didn't know that. I thought I'd give you that little bit of information. And we are ready to roll. We have two wonderful guests that Anna's going to introduce. But first, you know, we have to go the traditional welcoming of the co-hosts. Ed Skiba, it's good to see you again, buddy.
Good morning, David. Boy, another beautiful South Florida morning, even though it's raining.
Even though it's raining.
Well, when I was in Africa, every time I go someplace and it would rain, they say I brought blessings.
So
our guests have brought blessings
they
for
have.
Us this morning.
Absolutely.
That's right. Well, I can see that, you know, and it's nice to be correlated with blessings instead of curses.
Amen.
So, you know.
Amen.
Anyway, and then Ann Limhoko.
Yes.
The other wonderful co-host. Thank you, Anne.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to be here on a beautiful Monday morning. Even though it's raining, we take the rain.
Beautiful.
Right?
We absolutely
And this is
do.
The day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad
Amen.
In it. I'm excited
Amen.
For today's interview.
I'm always reminded of one of my favorite praise songs, Our God Reigns.
Yes.
You know, and he certainly
yeah.
does.
Well, today,
rain
he
reigned R-E-I-G-N-S and R-A-I-N-S.
However you want to. And Anne is the one who connected our guests today with the program. So, Anne, I'm going to ask you to introduce them and get the interview started.
Well, you know what? We pray about who we want on this program, and somebody
we
from
do.
My church actually introduced me. Our guest for today is Juan and Elena Garcia, and they're actually people that I just met recently, and they go to church with me at Revive Church. But their stories about how they escaped from communism is something that I think our hearers need to really listen. So I think that we're going to get into that. And then just their stories of how they found the Lord, how they met everything. It's God throughout their whole lives. And I think that our listeners will be very interested to hear their stories. So welcome on the program, Juan and Elena Garcia.
Thank you.
So glad that you're both here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
God bless you. So, like I said to the audience, you guys have interesting stories how you escaped communism. Mm-hmm. Juan, let's start with you today. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and just tell the audience however you want to start. I know that you grew up in Cuba.
Right. I was there till I was 11 years old.
Yes.
Then my parents made a decision to send me over to the United States. Mm-hmm. There was an influx of over 14,000 kids that came into the United States between 60 and 62.
Okay.
The reason for that is that there was strong proof, never actually proven or whether it was true or not, but they said rumors. That they said that Castro basically was going to take the children away.
Mm. Wow.
Okay. And send them to indoctrination camps, either not only in Cuba but possibly into Russia.
Mm.
And when people got a hold of that, it was like it began. Like, you know, people started to kind of really said, "No, we're not going to do that."
Mm-hmm.
I was part of that trek. I came when I was, like I said, 11 years old. I came by myself. My parents just put me on a plane and said, gave me to a steward and says, please take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the bridge between Miami and Havana was originally instituted by Monsignor Walsh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He was the one instrumental in getting all of us over there.
Uh-huh.
Now, it was a clandestine operation, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what the children, that we were going over to the U.S. for as a student.
Okay.
Okay. And then when we came to Miami, when I came to Miami, Miami was a hub. They had like five center for children. It was between the age of 6 to 18.
Wow.
Okay. Mm. Right. And there were children, I mean, the home for children that I was at, we had kids that were, you know, like younger than me. Mm-hmm. So we all came by ourselves. And when we got to Miami, I went to the Kendall campus. And they had like three other campuses. And then eventually grew to like six campuses because there were so many of us coming over here. And then from that Miami campus, okay, we were shipped to different places to the United States. Mm-hmm. And I was sent to no less Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh my.
So talk about a culture shock.
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy was a big Packer fan, and I'm like, I'll still have you on the radio.
yeah,
being
definitely.
From the Chicago. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Big Lombardi fan. Yeah. Okay. What happened in Cuba, it was the largest children exodus in the Western Hemisphere.
Wow.
There has been no other.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
And so I came into the United States. I was at the campus, the Kendall campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was September 18th, 1961.
Okay.
Okay. When I came into the Kendall campus, I was there for approximately 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Okay. And then I was sent over to Green Bay, Wisconsin to a place called St. Joseph Home for Children.
Mm.
Again, I was alone. I was wondering what in the world was going on, what was happening, you know, because my parents did not prepare me for that.
Mm.
See, because there were just too many people with big ears, and that's why they could not say anything to me.
Yeah.
I was young.
Okay, you were so young.
If anything, if the government through one of the subsidiaries that every block had a committee they called it, and it was not about that. I mean, it was curtains for my parents.
Sure.
You know, it was, you know, in Cuba we were well to do. I mean, I found out a couple of things this past week that I go, wow, okay. But it's immaterial because the whole thing was, and I want to get back to that later on, what happened with my father.
Well, why don't we talk about that now? What kind of life did you have before coming to the United States? Your father, your mother?
Yeah, it was my mother, my father. I had a sister. I still have. Both of my parents are deceased. But we were actually well off.
Okay.
My father was a businessman, and he got some money from my mom, and he built three businesses that from scratch, okay? And for 25 to 30 years, he worked those businesses. He had two drugstores, and he had like a luncheonette with clothes that sold clothes and you know, tinkerish and stuff like that.
Like old time Woolworth.
That's what I'm thinking, old time Woolworth, Elena.
Right, exactly, like a Woolworth.
Yeah.
And he also had a farm, which he had it working because the place I was born in a place called Santi Spiritus, which is in the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's the province of Las Villas, for those who know Cuba a little bit. And that area where I lived, it was actually very prosperous because we had Nestle's had a factory there.
Oh, Nestle Chocolate. Yep.
Nestle Chocolate had a factory there. We had five sugar cane distributors.
Oh, yes.
Five different in that area.
Okay.
Okay. So we had, you know, quite a bit of, it was very, very prosperous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the thing was that after working for so many years, you know, my father, the military came in and they confiscated all the businesses that he had.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they basically said, okay, this belongs to the state. You no longer belong here. Just take everything. Don't take anything. Just leave. And on the three businesses, they confiscated the farm also. Whatever purpose they did.
Yep.
And this is something that, unfortunately, when I experience what's going on in this country,
yes,
it looks so much similar to what I went through with my father went through.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, my parents came in like 5 years later.
Okay.
Yeah, I met them back in Miami. I left Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I left them, and I met them back here in Miami. And basically, my father, whoosh.
He lost everything.
He destroyed it.
Destroyed.
Wow. Yeah.
My family went through that as well. Yeah, I told you I had an aunt from Camagüey, and her dad, Armando, mm-hmm. was very successful in business, lost it all for the same way. Mm-hmm. So they're probably about the same time, too.
Yeah. Now, we should mention at this point, this dynamic of the state taking over all the businesses, mm-hmm. all the land, this is a common element mm-hmm. when socialism begins to emerge in a government. You know, correct. And I mention this because we have a lot of people listening, mm-hmm. and there may be some folks in the younger ages that are totally think that they've been told socialism is the best thing since sliced bread,
mm-hmm.
when in socialism, you may not get bread, much less sliced,
definitely.
On any given day, that the government takes over everything, mm-hmm. and you then have two classes of people. You have the elite leaders, and you have
everybody
the rest
else.
Of the people.
That's right.
Correct.
Right.
The oppressed, they're oppressed.
Yeah.
And I think we ought to say that nothing changes when socialism begins to emerge in a government.
No.
Yes.
It's an inevitable pathway to destruction. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Right. No, that's fine. Actually, socialism is a system, a Marxist system, uh-huh. that wants to make everybody equal.
Right.
Okay.
And they want to make everybody equally dirt poor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the bottom
line. Except for the leaders. They're
exactly.
They're more equal.
Yes, because
equally dirt poor. Wow.
I was looking at some in Cuba. There's a beautiful beach which is called Varadero Beach.
Okay.
Okay. And I was looking at that at the map and all the different resorts mm-hmm. that are in there, and mm-hmm. they're amazing looking. I mean, the beaches are mm-hmm. just absolutely beautiful. But here's the thing: mm-hmm. when you are a Cuban citizen. Mm-hmm. You cannot visit those resorts.
Yep.
Hmm.
You are prohibited from visiting those mm-hmm. resorts.
It's just for people, foreigners,
just for the tourists. They like tourists.
Tourists. Bring the almighty dollar.
I was going to say, just the people bring the money. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really sad because at one point in the 50s, Cuba was such an amazing and prosperous country. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So much so that even the Cuban peso was right up, even higher than the dollar.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Back in the 50s, when unfortunately Batista was in power,
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
but it was a metropolis. I mean, Havana mm-hmm. was just like Las Vegas it is right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was just amazing, just teeming, and Varadero teeming with you know, just people, and the money was just flowing all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then this gentleman came in and he says, that doesn't play well with Marxism, mm-hmm. so let's make everybody evenly poor.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right.
Everything that they built from the money that your dad got from his mom was taken away, just like that.
Everything. I mean, he was, thank God that he had the sense. He knew it. My father never spoke to me about that because I was very young. And then when he got into the United States, he didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. But he had some common sense that to bring some money in, a little bit of money, so that we could just kind of
start off in the U.S.
Start off a little bit. Yeah.
We're gonna take a little break, and mm-hmm. we'll be right back.
And we'll go to Elena.
We're gonna go to Elena.
His wife and hear her story. Yes.
We want to hear everybody's story. And immensely exciting. What I just want to say, on several levels, what God is doing through your visit today, your mm-hmm. testimonies, and your sharing is powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Thank you for
sharing.
Lives
are going to be changed.
Amen.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Through your vote no on 4 on Election Day, you can prevent abortion from becoming the law of the land in Florida. Amendment 4 is not what it seems and way too extreme. Vote no and prevent the reversal of all the preborn life-saving progress of 35 years. Go to TooExtremeForFlorida.com for more information and please vote no on 4.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
I just love that music.
I know, me too.
I'm thinking of making a continuous loop so I can listen to it all the time on my headphones. Anyway, we are back. This is the Front Line, and we are back with Juan and Elena Garcia, and they're sharing their testimony, and we're starting with their life under communism.
Yeah.
And how they escaped. And Elena, tell us how your life was back then and okay. how that came about.
Okay. Well, basically, I came to the United States when I was 10 years old, but my trajectory was a little different than my husband's. Mm-hmm. I was born in Cuba, and the reason I was born in Cuba is because my dad was Cuban. However, my mom is from the Czech Republic, mm-hmm. also a communist country, mm-hmm. back then. Mm-hmm. My dad went to study to the Czech Republic.
Okay.
Also, always with the dream of getting out of Cuba, mm-hmm. and eventually coming to the United States. That was his dream since he was like 15 years old. Mm-hmm. And he met my mom over in the Czech Republic, and they fell in love. And then when he returned to Cuba, she followed him. She was pregnant with me, mm-hmm. so I was born in Cuba. My brother was also, I have a brother, he was also born in Cuba. And then my dad always had the idea, we're going to get out of here because this was too much. Mm-hmm. We, just to give you an example and what my husband was saying in reference to the lack and what the government took over and everything, mm. I was brought up differently in the sense I came to a family that was very poor. We lived in Havana, and I was born in Havana, Cuba. And in my family, there was we were 10. 10, mm-hmm. like my grandmother, and then all the kids, including mm-hmm. my father, my mom, and then myself. Mm-hmm. 10 people, adults, living in a mm-hmm. two-bedroom, one-bath apartment wow. in Havana. Mm-hmm. And they tell me, because I was too small to understand this, but they tell me, and the stories were that, okay, all 10 people, the rations that they would get on a monthly basis, which, if you think about it, and you say sometimes you look at your kids and they open the refrigerator and say, oh, there's nothing to eat. You go, oh, you have no clue.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
The rations mm-hmm. were, for example, one piece of meat, which was like a medium-sized steak or something, per person, one per month.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
These 10 adults, my family, never ate the meat. Mm-hmm. They would all save it. So I, between 1 and 2 years of age, mm-hmm. would have a meal
wow.
every day of the month.
Wow.
And I wow. could then grow healthy because mm-hmm. there was nothing. Mm-hmm. Today, I don't know how it is today because I don't have any living family really close that are still there. Mm-hmm. But we've heard stories of, for example, just as simple as underwear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They mm-hmm. get 2 per person. Per year.
Per year.
Yeah. Wow.
That is unfathomable to yeah. anybody.
To us, you know? Yes.
So, but anyway, back to my story is that my dad and my mom always planned to leave the United States. My dad was mm-hmm. like, I mean, the Cuba, I'm yeah. so sorry, Cuba, for the United States. But the only way to get out at that time was through my mom's country, was with the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. So we traveled, he got a visa for my brother, myself, and himself to go to the Czech Republic, which we traveled to. There we lived with our grandparents. We lived in the Czech Republic for 5 years. Mm. So I was there from 4 years of age till 9. Mm. And then we started immigrating. Once my dad and my aunt, his older sister, my aunt got to the United States, they had some sort of like a message between them, hey, I'm here, but like covered up because mm-hmm. yes. in Cuba, any mail that you mailed out was mm-hmm. read. mm-hmm. before it went out. So yeah. anyway, they had that little sign or whatever. And my dad started the migration process. Mm-hmm. We left as a family, mm-hmm. supposedly to Yugoslavia for a vacation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In Yugoslavia, we stayed at like a beach side, whatever,
resort.
Town.
Yeah.
Not mm-hmm. a resort,
oh,
town.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Little town. And my dad purchased from somebody on the beach an inflatable raft. And that inflatable raft served as the means for God to help us, really, because it was his hand over us to get us from a small beach in Yugoslavia to the other side of a canal, mm-hmm. which was Italy. Mm-hmm. We got to Italy on a Sunday afternoon.
Wow.
On the little raft. And we hailed down, my dad hailed down a police officer, and we sought political asylum. So we were transferred that Sunday afternoon to evening. We were transferred to what was like a refugee camp, mm-hmm. where there was a whole bunch of people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And there we were for about, I would say, like 6 months. Mm-hmm. I remember certain things, but I think certain things that were very hard to deal with, mm-hmm. I put in the back of my mind. And mm-hmm. it's like never, it was never really spoken about at home afterwards. Yeah. But then from there, my mom being from the Czech Republic, my grandfather, my mom's dad, was German. And he had family, he had a brother in Germany. So we were able to go from Italy through the through an organization called Caritas, which was like a Catholic organization that helped families, immigrant families. They transferred us from Italy to Germany. And we lived in Germany for about a year until we legally got all the visas and all the things and were able to come into this country.
Yeah.
So that was my, like my trail or my travels from being born in Cuba, my dad always having that vision for us as a family to not stay there, not stay in the Czech Republic, but come to this country where we can be brought up with religious freedom, where we can be whatever we wanted to be, because in Cuba back then, even now, it's not what you want to study. It's not what, it's what the government needs
tells you to study.
If they need more doctors, if they need more engineers, if they need more whatever, that's what you're going to do. Regardless of what you want.
Your choice is
regardless of what God has placed in you to be, let's say.
Yes.
So it was that was the trajectory for me.
Wow.
And you know, the poverty of it and everything. I remember my dad just trying so hard to work very hard here. He built a business and, you know, he was able to send money over to his family and my aunt the same way. And it was hard to know that people over there were struggling so much. But then when you would send them things, half of it they wouldn't even receive.
Right.
Because
the government took it.
The government took it.
And probably even the, not so much the government, the people working for the government.
Amen.
Who were part of the postal system. Who were felt free to steal what they could get by with.
So they had to.
They had to.
Because they had to
survive too.
They had to survive as well.
The black market gets big in countries like that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I was going to shift, but before we shift, a question popped in my head.
Yeah.
And I want to see if this is of God, you'll be able to answer it. And if it's not, if it's of David, then you will have to move on. Now, I know that you all were so very young when you were still living under communism.
Yes.
And then later on, when you were able to come or escape Cuba and eventually come to the United States. What I'm curious about is, did you ever hear any conversations from adults who had grown up before the communism came to Cuba, who were there when the transformation took place after the revolution, who then would comment on when we saw, we did not see this type of life coming because what we were sold, what they did to sell communism to make it appealing to the people. So my question is, and you may not have an answer to this, what did they say that they were told about what what was going to be good about communism that, of course, was never true.
Yeah.
Well, primarily, the bill of goods that they sold the people,
mm-hmm.
okay, was, like I said before, equality.
Right.
Okay. Mm. Because there was the higher earning people,
mm-hmm.
and then you had the lower earning people. So, like Marxism says, you know, you all got to be equally
mm-hmm.
poor.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
they don't use the word poor, though, do they?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, of course not. Yeah. Of course not.
Economically equal.
Economically equal.
Equal. And I remember I spoke to my cousin because he's older than I. He was 8 years older than I.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about so many different things. And actually, Castro stopped by our town.
Really?
Okay.
Mm.
He stood at the steps. There was a big building, you know, with columns. It was called Sociedad Progreso.
Okay.
Okay. Where it was like where, you know, people met and, you know, people of well-to-do standing, which, you know, I humbly say my father was the president. And he stood in the steps and he just told everybody what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
But my cousin being smart, you know, he heard that and he told me, he says, man, we got to get out of here. This mm-hmm. stuff is mm-hmm. not going to work.
Right.
Interesting, the name of that, Sociedad Progreso, the Progressive Society.
Progressive Society, progressive,
yes.
Society.
Does that sound familiar?
That sounds familiar.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
And that's now and today, the left-leaning folk have kind of abandoned equality for the word equity, which means more. If you look at equity, it defines more of what you're just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the billionaires and the dirt poor,
mm-hmm.
okay, we find a medium ground so that, as you say, everybody's poor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reality that is not being presented today to the people who are trying to make a difference from a Marxist standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been led, I'll just come out and say it, higher education. It's now in the lower, you know, it's in the high schools, even in secondary.
Yes, indoctrination.
Education, indoctrination.
We can say that, yes, we have
Marxist
to.
Marxist indoctrination, mm-hmm. and certainly you can see it on the campuses of higher education all over the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people, you know, standing up for these destructive ideologies.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the word equity, you know, that DEI stuff that mm-hmm. they've been trying to thrust
on
everybody's throat.
Equity and inclusion.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion is part of the Marxist ideology.
Yes.
People don't wake up to this. You know, I keep saying, people, you've been listening. If you're willing to listen to me after the first time I said it
mm-hmm.
and continue to be on the program, then you know we need to get out to the church and as well as to the culture that this kind of teaching, if a majority of people adhere to it, we will be living in a communistic environment where that kind of ideology will destroy the nation God intended.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have what everybody else has had.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we will, and those people that allowed it to happen will be the first one to complain about the horror of it.
That's right.
And we have these two on the program for such a time as
exactly.
this.
Amen.
When I was talking to I was on the phone with Juan and Elena for like an hour preparing for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I could sense in their spirit, we have to tell the people the dangers, the dangers, the dangers. Talk about that. Mm.
Yep.
Because we have an election coming up.
Exactly.
And we are going to be voting on two different ideologies.
Let me break in here to talk about a break.
Okay.
But also, let me say, at this point in the program, we'd like to invite people to call in. If you would like, the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And if you want to call in, we come back from the break. We have someone out in the lobby, at least I presume so, to answer the phone. We're kind of short-staffed, only on Monday through Sunday.
That's but, okay.
Great. Right.
But if anybody has any questions for Juan and Elena, they'll be happy to take it.
They will. Yeah. And we have our own erstwhile Ed Skibo who's going to punch the right buttons on the phone to get the call in.
Amen.
And so we'll be back after this little break.
Amen.
Hi, Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
But I'll let Dave.
Well, welcome back to the front line. We're at the bottom of the hour, more or less, which means we have another half
fast.
Hour.
Too
it goes
fast.
By too fast.
Yes, too fast.
We have Juan guests. And Elena Garcia with us today. And if you've been listening, you're hearing their lives growing up in communism and being delivered. I think the hand of God delivered you both.
Absolutely.
Many, many people involved in that. So a lot of support. Taking you through difficult early times in childhood.
That's right.
And God had you, always had, he always will have you. And we're going to talk about the Operation Peter Pan is how everybody came over as children from
Juan.
Cuba.
Yeah.
Juan,
especially
Juan.
Peter Pan. Right.
But I would just like to go back, do a prequel to all this and talk about, share Juan and Elena your testimony. When did you meet Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Tell us about your life in
him. I met him right around 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly the date. Mm-hmm. But before I go there, I'd just like to say a situation that happened to me when I was the young child at the camp.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which shows that God was with me at that particular time.
Yes.
And I was one day sitting in the steps and I was crying, you know, because my birthday was 3 days after that.
Aww.
And this kind man came, mm-hmm. and he asked me what was wrong. He had a kind face and all that. To make a long story short,
mm-hmm.
He invited me over to his house and he asked permission, okay,
mm-hmm.
To go meet with him and, you know, unbeknownst to probably the people at the camp, or maybe they didn't know or didn't care, this guy was a serial predator.
Wow.
Wow.
A sexual predator.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
A sexual predator.
And yeah, he was a pedophile.
A pedophile, yeah.
Yeah, pedophile, yeah. Big time. And what I'm getting at is that he took me over to his house to sleep overnight because I think he wanted to be a sponsor me,
mm-hmm.
and
wow.
at my age I was just, you know, my thoughts were with my parents, what did I think,
yeah,
you know. And he did some things, never went the full extent, thank God, but it's not a coincidence, because it was a God incident.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
A friend of my father's that came to visit me happened to be show up at the same time that he was there.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. he knew this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he called my father in Cuba, mm-hmm. and he says, watch out, this guy is bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's because I would have to have permission from my parents,
sure.
in order to have mm-hmm. a sponsor. Okay, and that's when, you know,
wow.
immediately, you know, I was sent to Green Bay, Wisconsin, to St. Mm. Joseph Home for Children.
Oh, that's why. Hello. You were sent
okay.
away.
Okay. That's deliverance.
Look at God's hand on him.
Yes. Yes.
But that was SOP, standard procedure.
Right.
Okay, that we,
gotcha.
from the hub in Miami, kids were just spread out all over, like Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. Yeah. And I was sent to a home for children in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But getting back to what your original question was, it was about 2001. We had just lost big business that we had, which it was a very lucrative business, but it wasn't a very nice business. It was fashion photography.
Mm.
And we don't have time to get into the stories, but I just give you a picture of the photographers, the models, high fashion models, what went on. Yes, so I was involved in that.
Okay.
And then we lost it. I think it was God's hand.
Definitely.
And then one day, my wife has been praying for me for like umpteen million years.
Faithful spouse, faithful spouse.
Soon after the God created the universe, you were praying.
She was on her knees for you.
She knew she was going to hang out with me. Okay. And then the only way that I would go to church is if my little girl said, come on, Daddy, go to church with me.
Aww.
I said, okay. Yeah. I was so proud. First of all, I was a heathen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not gonna shadow.
Yeah,
I was a heathen. I was bad news. One of the bad news bears.
That's raising his hand.
And then she had been praying for me. I was so proud. I would never hold the Bible in my hand. I go to church and well, let's go. I got to go watch a football game, the Dolphins. One day she's been praying for me. We were in a very small Hispanic church, which I hated it. God forgive me, because my...
That's okay. Tell it how it was.
That's how you were then.
English was my main language, you know. And anyways, I didn't like the Spanish preaching. But so, and then one day the pastor, and it was like inside of me, there's this...
God
this
was working.
Rumbling. It was like this thing, and it was like, man, I'm tired of the life, you know. And the pastor said one day, okay, how many of you want to get baptized? And unbeknownst to my wife, I raised my hand, and she basically fell out of a chair.
Yep, because so surprised.
I never went to the altar to do the faith walk. I never did that. I never raised my hand. But then one day when it was time to get baptized, I said, you know what? It's time for me. And
praise
in 2001,
God.
Right,
yeah.
2001, that's when I began my journey.
Amen.
Praise God. Okay. Wow.
Amen. Wow. When the Holy Spirit moves.
Before we go to Elena, just remind you, you can call in and ask a question, Juan or Elena or both.
Yes.
772-221-1100 is the phone number for the station. 772-221-1100. Elena, tell us your story.
Elena, let's tell us your story.
Well, my story is that I had a friend at work that always kept talking to me about Christ and about Jesus and all that. And I was listening and all that, but it was like, okay, another time. And again, involved very much in the world before and all that. But my dad, whom may he rest in peace, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. So there was a healing crusade that was taking place in Miami and the old Orange Bowl. And I said, Dad, we got to go, the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. So I took my dad, my mom, and my husband and I and our daughter. Our son wasn't even born yet. And we went. And my dad, since he was part of the sick crew, I guess, they let them go onto the field next to the stage, the altar, whatever. We ended up in the bleachers, and I was hearing the preaching, and God just moved and moved and moved.
Wow.
And I remember the moment. I remember the moment that my daughter was sleeping on the bleacher. My husband was on one side. I was on another. The pastor made the call for the loss, and I'm like, here I am.
Wow.
Raise my hands, whatever.
Hallelujah.
And it was like, wow. And praise I God. Started with this incredible fire for God, just hunger, like, where have you been all my life? Oh, my God, where have I been?
Yes.
And when my husband says that I was praying for him, I was so in love with Christ. I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, put on preachings, get the Bible, read it, the whole deal, and it would just shove it down his face, though. Shove it down his throat. Look what it says here. Look what it says here. Look what this, the whole deal. And he was like, the more I spoke, the more the walls came up. The walls came up.
Of course.
And it was like a process. I started going to church with our daughter, the whole deal. But then one thing happened, and when he says that he doesn't remember exactly when, I know that I was praying for years and years and years. And then one day I was like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what else to do. This man. And I clearly heard him say to my spirit, shut up.
Yeah.
Literally, shut up.
You're in the way, right?
Right.
And he told me, stop talking to him about me. Talk to me about him.
Wow.
I had no idea. I had no basis. I had nobody really that I was connected with to teach me how to pray or, hold my hand and walk me through this and be my support or anything. So I went out to the Christian bookstore and I bought myself a book. I bought myself a book on the power of a praying wife.
Stormy.
That book, Stormy or Marsha.
Yes.
That book, I ate it up. And I would pray and pray and pray. And I was like, 3 months later is that incident that he tells about.
Wow.
That we were at the church. And I had prayed
the battle was
for
on your knees
8 years on it.
Wow.
So ladies, definitely on your knees, speak to God about your children, about your husband, about the situations.
Yes.
And that's where he can openly work.
Yep.
Because we got to give that battle to the Lord.
To the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
That's what
in
he
a place of rest
that's
is the victory when we give it to the Lord.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
It does always. Amen. This is, and because of your backgrounds, the foundation of your lives and your very unique stories, when we're speaking together today, when you're sharing from the depths of your hearts about your love for Christ and your history that is all wrapped around that love for Christ and your personal uniqueness.
It's beautiful.
And I'm going to share that. I just throw this out to you that I'm just going to say it comes from the heart of God, but your testimony is so particularly pertinent today.
Amen.
What you have to offer, I'm going to say the world, because beyond this place, beyond your lives, there's a whole world out there that, and we've touched on this issue that, more of the woke people need to go awake, need to be awakened.
That's right.
And for however God wants you to deal with this in your own personal life, I just hear the mission of sharing your testimony, growing up in communism, the differences, seeing, knowing God, especially then, and being able to point out the godlessness of the Marxist foundational ideology, and when it takes over a culture. And so I'm delighted. I'm just so excited that you were able to come here today and share that. But I really believe that this is not the last time God is going to enable you to focus the fruit of your experience now really being filtered through the gospel, filtered through a life with Christ to those around you.
Yes.
Amen. I'm just offering that. It just came to me and see where you go with that.
Thank you. And I also feel like there's probably a lot of husbands and wives who are married and then one spouse is not walking with the Lord and they're struggling and they're, you said you were like banging your head on the wall. You were so frustrated.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Trust the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Talk to the Lord more than you yell at your spouse, right? Because I feel like there might be some listeners who may be in that situation.
That's right.
Amen.
The other thing unique about you guys being here, we always have people that have radio shows or television shows.
Right.
They're active in government.
Yes.
You folks are Christians. We're just Christians like all the rest of us.
Yeah, yeah.
That struggle every day with your faith.
Right.
And people need to hear that too, because there's a lot of folks sitting here listening to us that think, well, who am I? Nobody's going to listen to me. I'm just.
Yeah.
But we want to hear from everybody.
Amen.
And
we do.
What you've been through is very unique in your flight from communism. Mm-hmm. But again, you're average Christians that go to church every Sunday, and you're part of a family group. And everybody out there has got a story too.
Yes.
And they need to hear
that. And we call those in
just,
who the Lord wants to bring on the radio.
So God's really, he's anointed this meeting today.
Praise God.
Absolutely. This is no
question about
it. Thank
you, Natalie Evans, for introducing me to them. But I think we want to take a break, right?
We're going
to
take a little break, and then we'll be back. This is our last break before the end of the hour. Oh, gosh.
Already.
Where did it go? Well, we'll find out.
Yep.
Probably in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We'll find out where it all went, maybe.
Amen.
Christ is my firm foundation.
Through your vote no on 4 on Election Day, you can prevent abortion from becoming the law of the land in Florida. Amendment 4 is not what it seems and way too extreme. Vote no and prevent the reversal of all the preborn life-saving progress of 35 years. Go to TooExtremeForFlorida.com for more information and please vote no on 4.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
We're back.
We are back. We have returned.
From the kingdom of God.
From the kingdom. We're still, well, you know, technically.
No, we are in the kingdom.
We are in the kingdom now,
the
yes.
The kingdom of God is in us.
Jesus told us where the kingdom of God has arrived, so yeah. We are there.
Amen.
So we're back here with Juan and Elena Garcia, sharing their testimony, their early lives growing up in communism and then coming to America, sharing the disparities between communism and what we are in America, we are a democratic republic.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that wonderful thing that God invented. God made it, and here we are. Hopefully we're being restored to that. But talk about the Operation Peter Pan.
Yeah, why?
Because that's what got you all over here, right?
Right. Yeah. The Operation Peter Pan was established by, Monsignor Walsh, and it was a flying bridge from Havana to Miami, and through that Peter Pan flight, they were able to issue many student visas, student visas to the kids.
Okay.
There was a time like when the Cuban Missile Crisis began, that it basically stopped, but after that stopped, then it resumed again. And then, like I said, from 60 to 62, through the Peter Pan flights, over 14,000 kids came from kids, you know, my age, even younger than me, all the way up to, you know, the early teens, because of what I said. Basically, Castro wanted to terminate parental rights.
Wow.
Does that sound familiar?
Yep. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
We've got to vote no for Amendment 4 because they want to get rid of abortions, first of all, have it legal to the ninth month. I'm sorry. They want to get rid of parental consent so their kids can have an abortion without them knowing. But get back because I had to say that. That's so important.
They wanted to terminate parental rights and assume custody of all Cuban children.
Imagine.
Now, this is based on Marxist propaganda, and I would like for somebody to tell me if this is a good thing to be a socialist.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Sounds like here today, that's what they're trying to do.
They're trying to do that.
Which that, when I read that terminate parental rights, what is happening in California?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. If you are a parent and you are concerned about your child's gender dysphoria, you as a parent do not have a right.
Yeah. Mm.
So you can associate one thing with the other. And if you are on the other side and you want your children to have, you know, you have no say-so over your children, then I don't know what is wrong.
Yeah.
But I just want to propose one thing here on the air.
Yes.
I propose that all the people that think that socialism is so good, round them up and take a big group of them, and go to Cuba or Venezuela, but a big but, not to go as a tourist.
No,
right. They need to go inside of the country. They need to go where the people are suffering, where there's nothing to eat. Where there's no medicine.
Healthcare.
People are dying because there's no medicine, there's no care, there's nothing,
Absolutely.
Nothing at all that will save them. My aunt in Cuba died because she had no access to medicine that she needed.
Lord. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And this is socialism. And yet, I read I saw a piece where Castro's grandchildren are living it up in Monaco. Mm-hmm. In Monaco,
sure,
in big yachts.
Yeah.
Parties.
Sounds like today.
With all the money.
Sure.
All the money that they can muster because he stole billions billions of dollars from what was once a very prosperous country.
Yep. Yes. Ron, talk about the importance of the elections. There's the two different ideologies. People need to know about this. Mm-hmm. Because right now we're living in an economy where people can't afford to own homes anymore.
Right.
It's hard for young people to own a home.
Exactly.
And to get groceries. Where's our country headed if we don't
do something?
Yes. And the Lord is telling the church to wake up, and that's why they are on the program.
Right. It's when I hear the other side talk about the things that they speak about, the abortion, the parental rights,
mm-hmm.
and then now they want to control the prices of everyday
things.
Prices of the vendors,
the Democratic candidate literally said that she considers that the government should take over grocery.
Control
prices.
She wanted to do price control prices for groceries.
We'll fix it. Let's do away with free enterprise.
Let's do away with that.
Exactly.
And people need to wake up. People need to really, really
register
wake
to
up
vote. If you have not registered to vote, you have till October 7th. But go ahead.
Amen.
Keep speaking.
And I want to say this to Christians out there that they think that this election is not going to matter. Yes, it is.
Oh.
My friend, I'm telling you, you know, and I'm living proof of what communism is. Okay, you don't want to be in communism.
No.
You do not want to be in that state.
You don't want your children, your grandchildren.
No. Children. Yes. Okay.
Because you perhaps may not live through too many years of it, but they will.
Absolutely.
What legacy and what are you going to leave to them? We have three granddaughters right now, and we want them to be prosperous. Yep. We want them to be whatever God has designed them and selected them to be in this world to make an impact. And that is a difference. Mm-hmm. What my husband and I will vote this November will impact not only the next 4 years, but it'll start a process of future generations.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
And don't think that one or two votes are going to make a difference.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely.
Because that happened on
St. Lucie County.
Yep. Okay, by one vote.
Well, it just came out that Jennifer won by four votes. They did a recount, and that other person won, and that's why... Oh, don't even get me started. My friends know this. If you do not vote, do not speak up. You don't have a voice.
You have
to vote.
That's right.
I can see it in Juan and Elena's eyes if you look at them.
Yep.
The danger that will come upon if we do not take this country back.
Amen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I don't mean to be flippant or I don't call people ignorant, but it is ignorance.
Yes.
Okay? They're being fed this Marxist religion Marxist thing, and it don't work. It never worked. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't work anywhere.
The most deceptive term they're using today is progressive.
Yeah.
It sounds so great.
You know?
Oh, we're going to be progressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't understand what it means.
Yeah, it makes me want
to
throw up.
It's a progression to slavery.
Evil. Yes,
exactly.
One of the things, you know, often folks on the left-leaning side will say, and they'll listen to a program like this, and they'll say, because they're into relativism, right? They're into everybody has their own truth.
No absolute truth.
So someone listening and will say, well, Juan and Elena, okay, that's their truth. And one of the things that communism or socialism, Marxism, whatever, the very foundational ideology, is it has to eliminate absolute truth, which means that any Marxist nation hates Christians and hates Jews.
And that's what's happening today.
What's happening today. Look
the
at the
pushback on Christians.
Anti-Semitism,
anti-Christianity.
All over the campuses. That's right.
Because we serve a God who is truth.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And when we speak in his name,
he is the truth.
It is the truth.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the life, and the truth.
Yep. Amen.
And we have to wake up and church.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Church. Listen, this is a day we've got to We've got to wake up. Mm-hmm. Start trusting God, mm-hmm. and stop hiding in your
Amen.
Churches.
Amen.
And go out and vote.
That's right.
And speak the word of God into your culture that you're living in. We
yes.
live in America.
That's
America's
right.
dying.
Yes.
That's right. God wants to save us, but you know what? He's not going to do it without you.
And pastors do not need to be scared about speaking at the pulpit Amen. About voting or
Amen.
Talking about certain ideologies.
Yes.
Because
right.
I feel the enemy is using them, and then their congregants are not listening to what they need to hear.
That's right.
And
right.
I feel such a stir in my spirit because
this is huge. And the ones
that
disagree are leaving.
Yes.
That's the big problem. The people that, if you, I do that, and I'm not afraid to speak the truth from the pulpit.
Amen.
And I've got people that don't come to my little church anymore.
That's fine.
Because, well, you just don't understand. No, I do
But
understand.
We're here to please
you
God, not please men.
Don't
right. And that's
yeah.
what, I see that happening, though, I must say, to be, because we also want to encourage people.
Yes.
Encourage, we should be encouraged. So, yes, we've leaned into talking about the darkness, but you know, wherever things are the darkest, then the light of Christ shines.
Amen.
So in America today, as dark as it looks, if you've opened your eyes, even one eye, a little bit, you can see, oh my gosh, we're in danger of falling over into that socialistic abyss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he wants us to pray. He wants us to take action. He wants us to turn back and listen
There's
to
hope,
him.
Hope.
There is hope.
In
That's
the
right.
Lord.
And, you know, Paul said, any hope you can see isn't hope, right?
Yep.
We haven't seen it yet, but it's coming.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We trust in the Lord.
Right.
But, you know, hey, Christians, get your head out of the sand.
Mm-hmm.
I just preached on that yesterday, David.
You really?
There is no such thing. There's no element of darkness. There is no such thing as darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There's only the absence of light.
Mm-hmm.
And the more the absence of light occurs, that we remove God from everything,
mm-hmm.
who
Man.
Is the light, the deeper the darkness gets.
Amen. Yes, I praise God for having Juan and Elena today on
Amen.
Our program.
Amen.
Right
Amen.
After the primary election.
Right.
Right, that just happened, and we
yep.
have a couple of weeks before the general election.
Yep.
And the Lord's going to use, like, I believe that the Lord's going to use their stories in different venues.
I have no doubt.
And,
Absolutely.
You know, so praise God for them.
Yeah.
We have God for you guys.
2.5 minutes before we end. We come to an end.
Is there anything else that is on your heart that the Lord is stirring you to say?
Yeah, basically is you don't know until you live it,
mm. mm-hmm.
until you have
Absolutely.
Lived through what my wife and I have lived mm-hmm. through. You don't mm-hmm. know it, and they feed you all the stuff, and folks, it's not that way. Believe me,
mm-hmm.
it's not that way.
Yeah,
so I pray to God that people will wake up and see the light.
Yeah.
Amen.
We
and
pray for that.
Amen.
And
Go
more
ahead,
people
Elena.
Are.
Go ahead.
And the Lord always tells us that He is with us.
Yes.
And that He's backing
mm-hmm.
us.
Yes.
Amen.
And He promised to be with us till the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Amen.
And I think that as you gentlemen were saying, you know, that some pastors and some preachers are afraid to say, and that congregations are getting mm-hmm. thinner because
yeah.
people are being fed this thing from the world and they're believing in. Bottom line is truth. Bottom
yes.
line is truth.
Amen.
We
right.
as pastors or as just Christians, just
mm-hmm.
walking with Christ, it is our duty to speak truth,
Amen.
God's truth,
Amen. Absolutely,
and not be afraid, because yes. God says, you know what, I'm going to back you up.
Yes.
Yep.
If 5 people leave, you know what, 10 are going to come back,
yes.
and
yes.
they're going to have that mindset,
right.
and they're going to be willing to put in the work,
yeah.
and preach, and do, and say.
Yes.
And one thing that I can say is that I have found that when we try to do things on our own strength, we don't get anywhere.
Yep.
No.
Amen.
My husband is living proof of this. Nothing. When
yeah.
we step out of the way and just put Amen. Our petitions before the Lord, put it before His throne, and trust,
yep. Amen.
Trust
That's
that
a
He
key
will
word.
Move, there is where the difference is going to come.
Yep.
Children
Amen.
That are away from God, what do?
Talk
we
to
say,
the Lord,
Lord
about them.
Lord, here they are. You love them more than we do, even though I'm the
yeah,
parent.
Yes.
Right.
You love them more.
Well, our time is up. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
Both
Elena.
Of you
Thank
have
you
to
so
come back.
Much.
Thank you.
Amen.
Of course.
Into the next year,
Let's get a date
you know,
on the calendar.
We'll nail that down, because this is a subject that's not going to go away. It's always going to be relevant, specifically in the next year or two.
That's right.
So we're going to have you back, but now we have to.